All right, let's jump into some history today.
Okay.
And this is going to be a deep dive into a book called The Roosevelt Myth.
Yeah, and this book is really interesting because it takes kind of a critical view of Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty controversial in some of the stuff that it talks about.
Really?
Yeah.
So this isn't like your typical kind of like history book that we read in school.
No, no, not at all.
Okay, all right. So what are we getting into here? What is this book all about?
So this book really challenges the traditional narrative that we have about FDR and his presidency,
right.
Especially when it comes to like the Great Depression, the lead up to World War II, his motivations during those times.
Okay.
It really kind of digs into that.
So like the banking crisis, the New Deal, World War II, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. All of that. And even some personal stuff about Roosevelt and his family.
Wow. This sounds like a deep dive indeed.
It is.
Okay. So one of the things that stuck out to me was that this book suggests that FDR didn't actually take the banking crisis very seriously at first.
Yeah.
Even though he was governor of New York at the time.
Right. And you would think being governor of New York during that time would made him like, you know, tackle this head on.
Right.
But the author really thinks that Roosevelt actually used this to his advantage.
What do you mean?
So the author thinks that Roosevelt kind of intentionally let the situation get worse so that when he came into office, it really highlighted the failures of the previous administration.
Okay.
And it made him look like, you know, the savior of the nation because things were so bad.
Oh, so he wanted to take office when things were at like the lowest point possible.
Exactly.
So that he could be the one to kind of like bring everybody back up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the idea.
It's pretty crafty.
It is pretty crafty.
I mean, it makes you think about all the decisions that he made.
Yep.
Were they really in the best interest of the country, or was it just to make him look better?
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Right.
And it makes you wonder, you know, about this line between effective leadership and strategic maneuvering.
Right, because on the one hand, he's helping people. But on the other hand, he's kind of doing it for his own benefit.
Right.
Okay, well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's not all.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
Okay.
The book also talks about the New Deal.
Okay.
And it challenges this idea that the New Deal was just this, you know, purely positive social reform.
Wait, so you're telling me the New Deal wasn't all sunshine and roses?
Well, not exactly.
Wait.
The book argues that there were inefficiencies.
Okay.
And that there were even some negative consequences to some of the programs.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So, for example, there was the Agricultural Adjustment Administration.
Right,
the AAA.
Which was supposed to help struggling farmers.
Yeah.
But it actually led to the destruction of crops and livestock. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Why would they be destroying food when people are starving?
Right.
That seems counterintuitive.
It does seem counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But the book argues that these decisions were based on, you know, misguided policies.
Okay.
And maybe a lack of understanding of the actual economic realities at the time.
So they were trying to help, but they just didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah, maybe they had good intentions.
Yeah, okay.
But the outcome wasn't what they hoped for.
Right.
And some people argue that maybe it even made things worse.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
It is.
Okay, so we've got the banking crisis. We've got the New Deal.
Right.
The book also talks about some of the people who were close to FDR.
Right.
It does.
Yeah.
Like.
It names people like Harry Hopkins.
Right.
John L. Lewis.
Okay, I vaguely remember those names.
Yeah. And the book kind of delves into their relationships with FDR.
Okay.
And how their agendas may have influenced his policies.
Oh, so these are people who are close to him, but maybe had their own motives.
Right, right.
And they might have been kind of like swaying him in certain directions.
Exactly, yeah.
For their own benefit.
Potentially, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it also, the book also suggests that there was a certain level of communist influence.
Communist influence.
Within the CIO, yeah.
What's the CIO?
The Congress of Industrial Organizations.
Okay, and this was like a big labor union.
Huge labor union at the time.
Okay.
And it had a lot of influence in politics.
So is the book saying that communists were infiltrating the government?
Well, the author seems to think so.
Wow.
And it really raises the question of whether these individuals with their potentially conflicting interests may have been influencing the president's decisions, even if those decisions weren't good for the country.
That's a scary thought.
It is a scary thought.
Yeah, like using the president for your own personal gain.
Right.
That's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got all this stuff going on domestically. But then there's also the whole issue of World War II, right?
Right.
And I know that the book also challenges FDR's actions in the years leading up to the war.
It does, yeah.
So what does it say?
Well, it's really critical of his foreign policy.
Okay.
Especially how he handled neutrality and everything before the war broke out.
So he was saying he was neutral?
He was saying he was neutral.
But maybe he wasn't really.
Yeah, the author doesn't think so.
Okay.
The author's really critical of his famous quarantine speech.
I remember that speech.
Yeah, and the author thinks that it was more inflammatory than diplomatic.
Okay.
And that it was designed to push America closer to war.
So instead of being a reluctant participant, like we're always taught,
right,
he was actually kind of orchestrating it behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Wow.
Yeah, and it really makes you question, was FDR truly neutral?
Right.
Or was he playing a more active role in shaping those global events?
And if he was it for the benefit of the nation or for his own benefit?
Exactly.
Man, this is heavy stuff.
It is.
It's really making me rethink everything I thought I knew about FDR.
Yeah, and we're just scratching the surface here.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep going then.
All right, and one of the things that really shows this is when he tried to change the Supreme Court.
Oh, you mean like the court packing scheme?
Exactly, yeah, the court packing scheme.
I remember learning about that in school.
Yeah, it was a pretty audacious move.
It was.
Even for FDR.
Yeah.
And the author really argues that this was just a way for him to get more power.
So by putting more justices on the court.
Right. He could stack the court with people who would agree with him.
Right.
And basically just rubber stamp all of his policies.
Yeah. Like he wouldn't really have to worry about the Supreme Court anymore.
Right.
It makes you think about how far a president can go.
It does.
To get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means like messing with the balance of power.
Right. And the book also suggests that FDR used his popularity and his influence to basically silence anyone who disagreed with him.
Really?
Yeah. He would reward people who were loyal to him.
Okay.
And he would punish people who challenged him.
So he was playing like hardball politics.
He was.
Wow.
Yeah. And the book even suggests that programs like the WPA.
The Works Progress Administration.
Yeah. Which was supposed to help people get back on their feet.
Right.
Were actually used to pressure people to vote for him.
Oh, wow. So he was using government programs to buy votes.
Essentially, yeah.
That's pretty messed up.
It is.
It's hard to believe that the guy who's supposed to be like the champion of the common man,
right,
was actually doing things like this.
Yeah, and the author is basically saying that FDR's actions were often motivated by something other than altruism.
So maybe he wasn't as selfless as we thought he was.
Maybe not.
It all comes back to this idea of narrative.
It does.
Like, how do we know what's true?
Right.
If FDR was so good at manipulating public opinion,
mm-hmm,
how can we be sure we're getting the full story about anything?
That's a great question, and it's something we should all be thinking about.
It is, and it's something that we talk about a lot on this show.
We do.
Because we want people to be informed.
Right.
We want them to think critically.
Exactly.
And not just believe everything they hear.
Especially in today's world.
Yeah, where there's so much information out there.
And it's not always accurate.
Right.
So, yeah, we need to be careful.
We do.
And we need to do our own research.
Exactly.
And we need to question everything.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Me too.
So what else does the book say about FDR's actions leading up to World War II?
Well, it's really critical of his foreign policy.
Okay.
It argues that while he was publicly claiming to be neutral,
right,
he was secretly working to help the Allies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was even provoking Japan.
Provoking Japan.
Yeah. Which eventually led to the attack on Pearl Harbor.
So you're saying that FDR was intentionally trying to get us into the war?
That's what the author believes.
Yeah. That's a pretty controversial claim.
Yeah. It is.
Because I was always taught that he was trying to avoid war.
Right. The traditional narrative is that she was reluctant.
Yeah.
But the author thinks he was more of a mastermind who was playing the long game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he was deceiving the American people.
Potentially, yeah.
To get what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's hard to know what to believe.
It is.
When you have such different accounts of history.
Right. But that's why it's so important to look at different perspectives.
Yeah.
And to critically examine the evidence.
Right. We can't just take things at face value.
Exactly.
We have to dig deeper.
We do.
And this is why I think it's so important to be an informed citizen.
Absolutely.
Especially in our local community.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to make a positive impact.
Right.
We need to know what's going on.
We do.
And we need to be able to separate fact from fiction.
I agree.
Okay, so going back to the book.
Okay.
I remember it also talked about some of the people who are close to FDR.
Yeah, like Harry Hopkins and John L. Lewis.
Right, those guys.
Yeah, the author argues that they had a lot of influence on FDR's policies.
Okay.
And he even suggests that some of them might have had ties to communism.
Communism.
Yeah.
That's a pretty serious accusation,
It is.
especially during that time period, like the
Yeah.
Red Scare and all that.
Exactly.
So the author's basically saying that FDR was surrounded by communists.
Well, he's not saying that they were all communists,
Okay.
but that some of them had communist leanings
Okay.
and that this may have influenced FDR's thinking.
It makes you wonder how much of what happened back then was shaped by these ideologies
It
that
does.
were kind of hidden from view.
Yeah, it's a reminder that history is never as simple as it seems.
It's not.
There's always more to the story.
Right. There's always more going on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
We have to be aware of that.
We do.
Okay. Well, this has been a really eye-opening conversation.
Yeah, it is.
So what about Eleanor Roosevelt?
Oh yeah, she's an interesting figure in all of this.
I know she was a very active first lady.
She
And the
was.
book kind of takes a critical look at her too,
She
right?
does, yeah. The author suggests that her activism may have gone beyond the traditional role of a first lady,
Okay.
and that she may have had more influence on policy than people realize.
Really?
Yeah, and he also kind of digs into her personal life a little bit,
Oh, well.
which is always a bit controversial.
It is.
But it's interesting to think about how much influence she may have had,
It is.
especially since she was so outspoken.
Yeah, she wasn't afraid to share her opinions.
No, she wasn't.
Okay, so we've got FDR, who may have been more crafty than we thought.
Right.
We've got his advisors, who may have had their own agendas.
Yeah.
And we've got Eleanor, who was pushing her own agenda. This is all starting to sound like a soap opera.
Kind of is.
But it's real life.
It is real life.
And it happened.
It did.
And it's important to understand these things
Absolutely.
because it helps us understand the world we live in today.
It does.
Okay, so I'm curious to hear more about the author's overall assessment of FDR's legacy.
Okay.
Like, does he think FDR was ultimately good for the country or bad for the country?
Yeah, he's pretty critical.
Okay.
He thinks that a lot of the problems that we see today, like in America,
Okay.
stem from FDR's policies.
Really?
Yeah, he thinks that even though a lot of people praise FDR's legacy,
Right.
that it's actually had a negative impact on the country.
So not just like during his presidency, but like a lasting negative impact.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and he points to things like the expansion of government,
Oh.
deficit spending becoming more normal,
Right.
and this erosion of individual liberty.
Okay.
And he thinks that all of these things have made America weaker.
So basically, he's saying that even if FDR had good intentions, things just didn't really work out the way he planned.
Right. And they ended up causing more problems in the long run.
Yeah, like we're still dealing with the fallout today.
Exactly.
It's like a, you know that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
Yeah,
That's
maybe that's
impossible.
what happened here.
Maybe so.
Okay, well, regardless of whether we agree with him,
Right.
I think this book really highlights the importance of understanding history.
It does.
Because the decisions that were made back then still affect us today.
Yeah, we're still living with the consequences.
Right. And it's not just about FDR.
No.
It's about any leader.
Any leader.
Their choices have an impact
Absolutely.
and could be a positive impact or a negative impact.
Right.
But we need to be aware of that.
We do.
And we need to learn from the past
We do.
so that we can make better decisions in the future.
I agree.
Okay, so what about FDR's legacy?
Well, like I said, the author is pretty critical,
Okay.
but he does acknowledge some of FDR's achievements.
Oh, okay, so it's not all negative?
No, it's not.
Okay.
He recognizes that FDR was a skilled politician
Okay.
who connected with people.
Yeah, he was very charismatic.
He was.
People loved him.
They did.
And he provided leadership during a really difficult time.
Yeah, the Depression and World War II, I mean, those were tough times.
They were.
And he helped people get through them.
He did.
And he also laid the groundwork for a lot of the social programs that we have today.
Okay, so he did some good things.
He did.
But the author still thinks that overall, his legacy was more negative than positive.
Right. He thinks the bad outweighs the good.
Okay, well, that's something to think about.
It is.
And I think it's a good reminder that even our most beloved leaders
Right.
are still human.
They are.
They make mistakes.
They do.
They have flaws.
Absolutely.
And we need to be aware of
We
that.
do.
We can't just put them on a pedestal
No.
and pretend they were perfect.
Right. We need to be critical.
We do.
And we need to look at the whole
The
picture.
good and the bad.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I think this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
I agree.
It's definitely made me think about FDR in a new way. And I think it's important for us to keep having these conversations
I think so too.
because history is important
It is.
and it's relevant to our lives today.
It is.
So let's keep learning,
Yeah.
let's keep exploring,
Absolutely.
and let's keep thinking and acting locally.
I like that.
All right, well, thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.